We're looking at the Mishnah here on Daf Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph, and you remember that the Mishnah itself was divided into two parts, and which in between the discussion of the Gemara relating to the Reisha and until the Seifa is this long Agadita, which we began in the previous Shia. And that continues on Tzadi Beis Amud Beis. So we're going to begin in the middle of this Agadita, and that's on Tzadi Beis Amud Beis, approximately 12 lines from the top. The first word in the line is Vikiton. Amale Rava Lerava Bar Mari. And this is a recurring refrain here, that Rava turns to Rava to ask him about certain sayings, and to try to find and trace the source in the Torah to these sayings. Mina ha-milsa, what's the source for that which Amar Rabbanan, the Rabbanan have said, Chavrach karyach chamra, which means, and again, I just want to point out that, as I said in the previous Shia, sometimes it says Amar Rabbanan, some says Zamri Inchi. Here, according to the Achronim, it should say Amri Inchi. That's not the gears that we have. But it would seem that this is not a Maimar Chachamim. This is more of a Mashal. This is more of something similar to wake up early and eat breakfast. Well, actually, wake up early and eat breakfast might be a halacha, so that might be a maimer of chachamim. But let's take before that, we had Anius Mechazeres Achara Ani. I mean, that certainly, clearly was an idiomatic phrase, you know, a colloquial phrase of the people, and we were able to find a source in Tanakh for it. Now, Karyech means to give a person a name, a bad name, a nickname, but a nickname in a pejorative sense. And Chavroch, if your friend calls you Chamra, a donkey, Ochva Ligabech Mush. Take a saddle from a donkey and place it on top of you. In other words, as if confess and admit that what he said is true. Instead of responding to him and arguing with him and expressing your indignant anger and reject what he says, you sort of like accept it. So this is a midah, of course, of anova, a midah of humility. The Maral Miprag here in his Pirush on Agadita adds the following comment. He says that a person should not consider himself so significant, but rather, instead of fighting back and lashing back at someone, he should accept it upon himself. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help him to complete any deficiencies that he has. It could possibly be, I don't know, that maybe the person should see this as, in a sense, a sign from Hashem. Hashem is talking to him, and we hear the voice of Hashem from many different sources, many different places. In fact, the idea of a chamor is also an idea of an animal that brings a message from the divine in Parshas Balak. In the Shiva Gubetzes, he advocates this kind of behavior pattern if he knows that he is deficient in that way. If, on the other hand, he's absolutely convinced that he doesn't have this negative attribute, then he doesn't have to confess, oh yeah, it's true, I'll put the saddle on my back, you know, as if I was a chamor. Amale, Rabba responds to Rabba's question. He says, Dichsiv, and this is again in the parasha of Avraham Avinu, but here, more specifically in the case of the relationship between Sarah Imenu and Hagar. And the Malach addresses Hagar in Bereishis Tezayin, Vayomer Hagar, Shivchas Sore. You are the Shivcha, you're the maidservant of Sarai. Ezem Yizeh Bas, V'yonaseh Lechi, V'atomar, Mipnei Sarai, Gvirti, Anochi Barachas. So both in the language of the Malach addressing Hagar, and in Hagar's response, she doesn't deny there is a description of Hagar as the Shivcha of Sarai. Now, at this point in history, Hagar was actually fleeing from Sarai. And therefore, she was no longer at this point the Shivcha of Sarai. But nevertheless, when the Malach calls her the Shivcha of Sarai, which is a kind of negative nickname or attribute, she Hagar receives this and expresses, or shall we say, shows a midah of shiflus, and she says mipnei Sarai gvirti. Now, shivcha in general is a lashon gnai. An eved is considered like a chamor, as we find by Eliezer Eved. It says shvulachem po machamor ama doma lechamor. And despite this, she accepted upon herself this appellation, this description of herself as a shivcha. Again, one could wonder that perhaps being the shivcha of Sarai is not the worst thing in the world. Many people would aspire to be the shivcha of Sarai. Anyway, Amalei Rava L'Rava Bar Mori, another question of the same sort. Minoha Milsa Diamri Inchi, what's the source of the way people speak? Milsa Gina'a De Ispech Kadim Amra. If you're aware of some sort of gnai, some sort of negative attribute in yourself, you should tell it to your friend before he finds it in you. It's a lot less embarrassing if he comes along and he says, oh, you are so-and-so. The Maral, again, in his Chidush HaGadol, says the following. If people think of you in terms of a certain particular chisaron, a certain deficiency, and after a while, at a certain point, Yodea Lahem Imenu, they're going to find out and describe you in that way. It's best if you're makdim and you tell them about this deficiency of yours. Because if they're the ones who find out about it, so to speak, from and have no other source but what they found out, what they discovered, they'll sort of lower your level, your status. It's going to be a real lack of dignity. But if you notify them first, it's not such a pchisus, it's not such a lowering of your dignity, because you admit that that is your fault and that is your deficiency. Perhaps we can embellish this by saying that if a person reveals his blemish, that lowers, that limits the level of busha, the humiliation, I should say, that he will experience when others reveal it. So it's best to chap the tzi, as we say, to come first. And perhaps if a person has a deficiency or a sin, then he should already begin to confess the sin. In certain cases, the halacha advocates that he even confesses his sin publicly. Again, it's a little bit strange here that Rava, in his earlier sentences, had declared that if a person says to someone, you're a chamor or something, some gnai, then he should confess it. Here, Rava seems to be going a step further and saying that he should be makdim and admit and confess about this gnai even before his friend says it to him. In the previous maimer, Rava was saying, if your friend says it to you, then you shouldn't deny it. The Marsha here says that here we're talking about a gnai that he actually has, and since eventually it's going to become revealed and people are going to point it out, then it's best to say it first. Like Eliezer shows up amongst the family of Lavan and Besuel, and he says, Eved Avram Anochi. It's going to eventually come out, so he might as well say it first. The previous mimer, there we were talking about a gnai that the person who's the victim of this nickname, of this lashing out, he really believes he doesn't have that gnai. But nevertheless, he should accept it upon himself. But he doesn't have to take the initiative and tell other people something that he doesn't believe is really in truth a fault of his own. In any event, what is the source for this kind of idea? And the answer is, as we indicated before, the Chsiv with Eliezer, it says, Vayomer Eved Avram Anochi. Omalei Ravel Rabba Bar Mori Minoani Milsa Ha Milsa the Amri Inshi. People say, Shafil the Ozil Bar Avza. Avza, an Avaz, is a duck. A duck apparently walks and waddles around with its head a little bit down. But v'ene metaifse, but yet its eyes will turn upwards and look towards a distance in order to find something that it needs, for example, food and sustenance. And the deeper meaning of this ethical motto is that when a person pravas anivus, and he should, he's encouraged to be humble and with his head bowed. But nevertheless, he should never be embarrassed to seek out that which he needs, to ask and seek out amongst others Torah, if he needs to study Torah and he needs to be taught Torah, parnasa, if he needs sustenance and there are those who can help him, he needs a job. He should, in a sense, demand, I don't mean it in a negative sense, but demand from his friend that he be helped. And where's the source for this? Omar Le Rabba responds to Rava, and the source is the Chsiv in the case of Avigail. She was originally married to a not a good person. His name was Nabal HaKarmeli. And there was a nevuah that her husband, Nabal, would die because he, amongst his other not such great resume, he insulted David HaMelech. So at that point, when this nevuah became clear, Avigail was in a very low state. You know, her head was, if you could say, figuratively bowed. And yet, nevertheless, the Torah, the Tanakh, testifies that she had a request, and she came forward to request from David, V'heitev Hashem l'Adoni v'zachartas amosecha. That when things go well, please remember me. And what does this mean, please remember me? It seems, the way I understand Rashi, is she yizkar es yofya, that David should remember her beauty. This is an intimation that David would take her for a wife. And if you take a look in the Mefarshim, you'll see something interesting. The Mitzudas David there in Shmuel Aleph, on that very pasuk of Ehetiv Hashem Ladoni, he writes that what she, Avigail, said to David is she yizkar v'yachzik latova, that David owes her a debt of gratitude, ala etza, on the fact that she, Avigail, was the one who gave David the advice she yotza lo mona oso milishpoch dam, and she prevented David from spilling guiltless blood. Basically, a person should have anov and shiflus, and that's seichel adam, that's using your noddle, but the seichel itself is should compel a person or lead a person not only to behave in a humble way, but also to stand up for his rights and make sure, chayecha kodmin, that he demands that which he needs. And that which is coming to him, perhaps. Amalei Rava L'Rabba Bar Mori Minaha Milsa Di Amriinshi Shitin Tichle Matye L'Kocha. Shitin means 60. And we're talking about the word Kocha. Kocha is an Aramaic word for the word a tooth. And Tosis and Rashi both agree to this. Other places, Rashi says that kocha refers to the chanichayim, which is the gums. But be that as it may, there are 60 types of pains that come to a tooth. Dekol chavrei shama v'lo ochal. When a person hears the voice of his friend while he's eating, and he himself is not eating. In other words, the teeth represent, you know, so to speak, the salivating. His mouth is salivating because he hears his friend eating and he can't eat. Maybe he doesn't have food to eat. And what it means is that basically, and this is a factor of human nature, that when a person sees that his friend has some goodness and he doesn't have that good, it's very difficult for him. The Pnei Yehoshua says that when a person sees someone else eating and he can't eat, it's almost a sakana. And sometimes even if a person has enough to eat, he's careful not to eat till he's absolutely satiated, full. Then he sees someone else eat, that's not going to be good for him. Amalei, Rabba responds to Rabba Dechsiv, the source is in Melachim Aleph. We're talking about Adoniyahu HaMelech, who takes over, usurps the Malchus for himself, and he invites the family of the king, of David HaMelech, and all the high officers to a banquet in honor of his declaration, self-declaration, appointment of himself as king. And Nasan HaNavi was hurt by this because he wasn't invited, he wasn't on the list of invitees. And he's suffering from an element of jealousy because he sees all the sarim, all the great officers, all the nechbadim, all the great dignitaries, they're all coming to this suda, and yet he, Nosan HaNavi, is not invited. Now, he could have said it to David as a sipur dvarim, you know, by the way, David HaMelech, I wasn't invited. But the way he said it, the way he expressed himself, as we'll soon see, is indicative of the fact that he was in anguish over this. He was really, really complaining. And how do we see this? The pasuk says, "Veli ani." Now, "Veli ani," ani is also the same word, or the root of the word aninus. When a person is really in anguish, he's called an onen, and the word ani is a remez to the fact that Nasan HaNavi was in a state of tsarlo, of being really upset that he wasn't invited to the Mishnah. It's very strange, but that's what the Chazal are learning here in this pasuk. V'li ani avdecha ulutzarek akon ulubnayahu ben yoyoda ulishloma avdecha lo kara. There's a whole list of people here that weren't invited to Adonai's banquet and his declaration of himself as king. And on the list is Tzadok HaKohen, Benoyo Ben Yoyada, Shlomo. I mean, these are all greats, but you know, Nosson puts himself first. V'li ani, you see that he's so upset, he's so anguished that he wasn't invited to this mishter, and others were, that he puts himself first on the list. He's like discombobulated. He's not thinking with a full, you know, with a full deliberate mind. And if you take a look in Horios at the end of the Masechta, you'll see that Kohen Gadol comes before a Navi. And here the Navi puts himself before the Kohen Gadol by saying, V'li ani. And apparently he was in Tsar. You know, it was really bothering him that he wasn't on the invite list. Amalei, Rava responds, At Amrit Mehasam, you found the source in the case of Nasan HaNavi, Ana Amina Mehach, I'd rather find the source in the Torah, again in the parish of Avraham Avinu, right after Avraham Avinu marries off his son Yitzchak to Rivka, and this is Breishis Chav Dalet, Vayivyeh Yitzchak Ohel Asar Imo, Yitzchak marries Rivka, and then immediately it says, "Vayikach es Rivka v'tilo liisha v'yavel v'inochem Yitzchak achrei imo uksiv basrei." Immediately afterwards, it says, "Vayosef Avram v'yikach isha ushma ktura." Avram gets married. In other words, Yitzchak gets married after his mother Sarah had passed on. In fact, according to Chazal, she passed on sometime after the Akedah, immediately in the aftermath of the Akedah, which is before we get to Parshas Chayisara, and before Yitzchak marries Rivka. Now, Avram is an Alman, he's a widower, and I'm going to say it in an extreme way, Avram is jealous of the fact that Yitzchak is getting married, He feels a deficiency that he's not married, and he gets married. Now, again, do we take this literally? That seems to be quite an issue here amongst the Mefarshim. Are we saying that the way Rashi says, Vayosef Avram Niskani be Yitzchak, which literally means he was jealous of Yitzchak, the Marsha is not happy with that? More likely, which reflects Chazal the Medrash, Avraham Avinu already had plans to get married before the marriage of Yitzchak to Rivka, but he didn't want Yitzchak to feel upset about it, because Yitzchak would see that Avraham is now getting married another time, and he, Yitzchak, doesn't have a wife, and therefore Avraham Avinu postponed implementing his plan to get married until after Yitzchak married Rivka. The Ben Yoyod of the Ben Ishchai says that Rabba did not derive it from this pasuk, because he held that this is not a reason for Avram marrying Keturah immediately following the marriage of Yitzhak to Rivka, but rather Ein Derech HaOlam Laseis Isha B'Sheinis Kodem Nesuei B'no Shigil Pirko. It's not Derech Eretz, so to speak, for a man, a father, to get remarried before he marries off his son. His son is already of marriageable age. The father's responsibility is to find a wife for his son, and only then, after he fulfills that responsibility, can he or should he go ahead and get married, marry a second time. Now, if you take a look at the next question, Amalei, Rabba says, you're asking, just one second, we skip. Amalei Rava, I'm sorry, Le Rabba Barbari Minoha Milsa the Amri Inshi Chamra Lemari Tivusa Leshakye. So we're talking about Chamra meaning wine. Lemari, Mari is the head honcho, you know, the top banana, the CEO, but here it means the Melech, the king. Is Tivuso Leshakye. In other words, even though the wine belongs to the Melech, we give a sense of gratitude to the Saramashke of the Melech, to the butler who actually pours the wine. Even though we really owe a debt of gratitude to the Melech, but we have more of a close contact here with the person who actually pours the wine. And Amalei, and Rabba says the source for that is Dechsiv, when Hashem tells Moshe to appoint Yoshua as the manig of Klal Yisrael to replace him. He says, V'samachtas yodcha olav l'man yishmun v'yirun kol adas b'nei Yisrael. So the greatness of Yoshua and his new status as the replacement and the leader of Klal Yisrael, replacement for Moshe, is based on a tzivui of Hashem. Uksiv, and nevertheless, when Yoshua starts leading the people of Israel after the death of Moshe, the pasuk says, "V'Yoshua binun mole ruach chachma ki samach Moshe's yadav olav vayishmu elav kol Yisrael kol bnei Yisrael." The credit is given to Moshe Rabbeinu for giving smicha, even though it's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu who chose Yoshua. Okay, then we'll stop here.